Psalm 103, I'm going to read the entire psalm. It's not very long. This is the word of the Lord. Let's hear. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and his place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and keep his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, all his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Just a word on this, bless the Lord. We know the Lord blesses us. How do we bless the Lord? Yeah, the NIV translates this as praise. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. I think the NIV got it wrong and the ESV got it right. It is bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Well, one way to think about it, it's thankful praise, or praise with thanksgiving. The God who blesses us, we, as it were, bless him back, thanking him, praising him for who he is and for his good gifts to us. So I think it's quite appropriate to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Two of my favorite verses in the psalm in the middle. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. J.I. Packer answered the question, what is a Christian? This way. A Christian is someone who has God as his father. A Christian is someone who has God as his father. In Psalm 103, David views God as that kind father who knows our frame, who remembers that we are dust. He's a perfect father. He's a generous father. He's rich in benefits and blessing and grace, which unendingly flow to his children. And because of this and all of this, he is worthy of all our thanks and blessing, that all that is in us and all creation bless him. And so David, first of all, very easily, you can see sort of an outline here. He summons himself to this blessing, to this praise and thanksgiving. David wants to call and rouse himself. Get up, David, and bless the Lord. And he remembers those 10,000 reasons, as we say. He remembers God's benefits as fuel for his praise. See how good God is? Therefore, offer him that blessing. And then thirdly, he does summon all creation and every creature to join him as a choir, as it were, in that blessing to the Lord. So David summons himself. He talks to himself. It's good to talk to yourself. It's bad to listen to yourself. Do you understand the distinction? When you listen to yourself, it's woe and misery usually, right? David is talking to himself, summoning his will, his mind, his memory, his heart, his emotions, his soul, all that he is to bless the Lord. Jesus said the great commandment is to love God with our all. And David wants to bless God with his all. And in summoning himself, he is intentional. Remember, we were somewhere years ago and someone talked about intentional evangelism. And my wife really loved that word, intentional. I don't know if you remember that or not, but you love that. Intentional. Homework for a student doesn't get done unless the books are open, right? The meal doesn't get et if it's not cooked. Nobody likes raw chicken. There's no such thing as chicken sushi, right? You gotta be intentional about that. Nothing happens without that. And what does it look like? What does it look like to bless the Lord? Well, let me give you a few things. And they're going to be so simple. I know you won't, but someone could be tempted to roll their eyes. But simple is what we need. What does it look like? Let me mention it. Let me mention five things. Just mention them briefly. Pray at meals. Simple, yes, yes, yes. I mean, that's sort of less than Christianity 101, isn't it? But it's a good thing. And it's a right thing. And it's a proper thing to thank God for the food on our plate. You may have a job, you may work hard, you purchased that food, you went to the store and you complained about inflation, but you bought it home and you ate it, right? But who has put that on the plate? The Lord has done that. We open our hands and he fills us with good things. You and I and even the lions in the field. He gives them their food in due time, in due season. It's simple, yes. Remember about 3 weeks ago, our son and his wife and another lady, we were having dinner together at our house, and my wife Gail and I, this young lady, beautiful lady over here, we were serving the meal, and I was holding a large, you know, oven, 9 by 13 or whatever thingy, and I started to lose grip of it, and it was hot, and thankfully it bumped into the table so that it didn't splatter on the floor and broken glass and food everywhere, and so it was a little frazzling, so I got it under control again. put it back in the kitchen, sat down at the dining room table. We have a dining room table. We just don't have a dining room, but we have a dining room table. And sat down, and everybody had their food. And I'm looking at them, and I said, come on, eat. Enjoy. Eat. And they're just sitting there. And finally, someone says, we haven't prayed yet. You mean the minister forgot to pray? Yeah, I kind of got off kilter a little there because of my almost really bad accident that happened. Thank God they said, nope, we ain't going to eat until we pray. That's just what they were telling me. And so, yeah, let's do that. Let me give you another. Let me give you an extra. My wife and I, we pray together every night at our meal. We usually have our evening meal together. I'm grateful that we're able to do that. We never have breakfast together unless we go out for brunch or something, because we don't get up at the same time. We don't have lunch together a lot, which is fine, but we have our evening meal together. And as we begin that evening meal, we pray. And we take each other's hand, and I start leading us in prayer. We're just thankful for the day God has given us and various things, not 100 things. Sometimes I think I forget to pray for the meal because I prayed for other things. Thank you, God, that you sent the rain today or whatever. Or thank you, God, that there's a good report from this person that was in the hospital. So we give thanks. We pray for our children. We had 2 a few years ago. Now we have 7. That's a miracle. Our 2 children are both married. We have 2 grandchildren, 2 grandsons, 5 and 3. Our husband and his wife have a little girl due this month, the 20th of this month. So that's our 7th child that we have at this point. So we thank God for them. We pray for them. We ask God to fulfill His covenant in them. As Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the promise is for you and for your children. And so we gratefully claim the promise of God for our children. And so we don't just say, Lord, thank you for the food. I mean, that's fine. But it's just Gail and I together. And it gives us an opportunity to pray together. When are you and your spouse going to pray together if you're married? That's probably the only time, right? I mean, you may be a great prayer warrior. You and your wife spend 2 hours a day on your knees. I don't know. We don't. But that's just an opportune time to do that. And prayer is a blessing to God. What shall I bless God for? How shall I bless God? When I pray, I'm saying to the Lord, what? You're able to give blessing. When I pray for someone who is sick, when I pray for someone who doesn't have a job, when I pray for someone to get saved, when I pray for someone to return to church, I'm praying to the God that I'm acknowledging is good, is able, He can do it. Do you see that? Prayerlessness is like a slap in the face of God saying, well, what does it matter? What can you do? What will you do? Are you really good? You see? So praying in itself is a way to bless the Lord. So you can get a lot out of thinking about praying at meals. That simple thing. Read the Psalms. Read the Scriptures. They're full of praise to God. Let them guide you. Let Scripture guide you in your praise. Go to church and worship. Yeah, it's an interesting phrase, go to church. What does that mean? We are the church, right? So we go to worship with the church, right? That's what we really do. But, you know, I'm not going on some crusade to say, let's stop saying go to church. Let's say go to worship. I prefer saying let's go to worship, but that's okay. Go to church is okay. We know what we mean, right? But what happens when you come to church to worship? You hear the word. You hear singing, right? Do we hear singing this morning? You sing. By the way, singing is not an option. I know a lot of men don't like to pray. I mean, to sing or pray. Don't like to sing. I've seen that in church. The scripture says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It is a command. You may talk about, well, I don't, you know, that group there or whatever, what's happening in culture, they're disobeying the commands of God. And they are. But if you don't sing, you are too. Because God commands that we sing. And as we sing together, we hear one another. As I stood beside my wife this morning, as she was singing, I could hear her. I could hear her doing what? Blessing God. Offering thankful praise to God. She could hear me. I could hear the congregation. I could hear the music team. As together we're offering that blessing and praise to the Lord. You need to come and worship with the brothers and the sisters, to offer that praise together corporately to Him. Well, I'm just going to do four things. I just mentioned this. David had a list. Again, we sang 10,000 things. That's a long list. It would take you a while to write that out. But we all have a list of the ways God has blessed us, His benefits. As David will say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. Some of those benefits are kind of covered up, aren't they? And sometimes they're invisible to us. God has blessed us and cared for us and protected us in ways we did not even see. And He also has blessed us, protected us, giving us good things in ways we can indeed see. So how are we doing in terms of bless the Lord, all our souls? Are we making it a holy habit? We begin to see, as we begin to consciously, intentionally, like David, call ourselves to bless the Lord, we begin to see more and more God's hand of blessing. And we look back and see how good the Lord has been to us. And it kindles that praise. Gail, I've been married 47 years. We've lived and ministered in all kinds of places. We worked for a total of 7 years. 9 counting a couple years before that, I guess. 7 years as husband and wife in Newark, New Jersey, in the inner city. We worked with people who were extremely poor and had a lot of problems. And it was a challenging place to live. One time, Gail, I may have told you this story, I tell it because it's beautiful to me. She put on a pair of slacks. I guess women wear slacks, men wear pants. And she put on a pair of slacks. And you know how you put on pants or something and you feel some change in your pocket. Yeah. Oh, I found money. You know, found money is wonderful money. And she found a couple of quarters. And she was happy because she could buy milk. Because when you work with poor people, you usually don't get rich yourself. Isn't that a beautiful story? She found those two quarters. And she was happy. God, put these two quarters in this pocket for me. Bless the Lord for all the good that he's done. Big and small. You know, when I was a kid, two quarters, that was a lot of money. Nowadays, that's not much. We look back and see. We remember, which is our second point. David uses specific benefits as fuel for praise. You just can't sit there silent if you really are considering what the Lord has done. When we lived in Nairobi, Kenya, we had a gas stove. They call them cookers there, stove and oven, fairly small. And it was made in Egypt. All the information about it was in Egypt, and it was in Arabic and the little flyers. Didn't help us a lot, but it was pretty simple. It was gas. And we got the way you did it was, you know, the little tanks you get for your grill outside. That's the kind of thing it used. So you'd go get one of those containers of gas and hook it up to the stove. And there was nowhere to put it, so you just put it beside the stove on the floor. And I remember on a weekend, we ran out of gas. I said, oh, man, this is such an inopportune time. Can I find one of those somewhere here on the weekend? I don't know. But in terms of the benefits the Lord gives us, there is a never-ending fuel of blessing to call out praise to the God of never-ending grace. There's always plenty of fuel if we'll look at it and think about it and offer it as praise to him. I had a professor in seminary who said, forgetfulness is the great enemy of faith. Forgetfulness is the great enemy of faith. As we remember what the Lord has done, does it not fuel our faith? Does it not fuel our blessing? The Bible is full of times when people remembered. They set up stones. Samuel set up one, Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And that was there so the people could remember. And that happens again and again. When you go to Washington, D.C., there are all these monuments. Why? So we'll remember. We'll remember about our country. That's important. And so we have these markers in our lives. We have the Lord's Supper today. People like us have been doing this for 2,000 years to remember what the Lord has done. Sometimes we forget things because they slip our mind. Sometimes there's a sinful forgetting. Remember the children of Israel, God led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. Pharaoh and his army, his chariots, came chasing them. And what happened? The rider and the horse God cast into the sea as he covered them over with the water. after the Hebrews went through on dry land. And what did they do not long after that? They made a golden calf and worshiped it. Had they forgotten what happened? No, they didn't forget it here. They forgot it in here. They forgot God in their hearts and what he had done for them. So let's briefly look at some of these things. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquity. The word iniquity is like twisting. There's a twisting of God's truth, twisting into sin. This is the first benefit listed. We could say the forgiveness of sin is the first one listed, and it is first. If God was not going to forgive the sin of sinners, if there was going to be no cross, then what hope would we have? We would have no hope. What purpose would there be in going on with anything? But God just to say, let's close up shop, right? Let's put an end to this right now. What's the purpose? But God didn't do that. God is a God who forgives sin. God is a God who put skin on and came and lived among us and did his Father's will, praying in the garden. Lord, if this can pass from me, this cup, it's a horrible cup. Let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Because if that doesn't happen, then all other blessing is like a stuck sink and nothing flows. But from the work of Christ, as we sing at Christmas, from Jesus, all blessings flow. And all of these other things are dependent upon that one thing. And if you don't have that one thing, you can have riches galore and fame and all these other things, but it doesn't matter. But what does it profit a man, says Jesus, to gain the whole world but lose his soul in hell? There's no profit in that. This is the first one listed. This is the first one. It is the fountain of every blessing. Let me just mention a couple here, okay? Just almost randomly. In verse 4, two things there. Who redeems your life from the pit. There are a lot of pits in life. There's the pit of the depression. There's the pit of not having a job. There's the pit of difficulty in family relationships. And there's the final pit, isn't there? Into which our bodies will be lowered down into. And even from that pit, the Lord will redeem us. For there is a time coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. As he lives, we shall also live. Who crowned you with steadfast love and mercy. You already have a crown. Ever think about a crown in heaven? You have a crown, believer. It's on your head. I can't see it. You can't see mine. But it's there. And the Lord is the one who has put it there. It's the crown of steadfast love and mercy. It's more beautiful than any gold, diamond, encrusted crown the queen has or the king has or you can imagine. It's a glorious crown. And the angels see it and they're amazed. He will not always chide or keep his anger forever. For his anger came on Jesus, right? Jesus bore that anger, that righteous wrath of God. He will not always keep it forever because it was put on him and done away forever for all who believe and trust in him. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And the psalm goes on with all these great and wonderful blessings. And so David has a holy dissatisfaction. A holy dissatisfaction that there's not enough praise, for how can there be? Praise shall go on eternally, never ending. So how can there ever be enough? How can you ever say, okay, that's enough? We say that sometimes about things, don't we? That's enough. There can never be enough. And so David says, bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his host, his ministers, the cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, a host of spiritual beings. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, geckos and tigers and fish and mountains and seas and stars and sun and moon and far-flung galaxies that we have no comprehension of. David says, I want a choir of all creatures and of all created things to join me in blessing the Lord. I'm not going to say much of anything about this to say it. John Piper says, missions exist because worship doesn't. Isn't that a great saying? Missions exist because worship doesn't. Missions and evangelism, whether missions to our neighbor, or missions in Uganda, or missions wherever, all around the world, they exist because there's a holy dissatisfaction, because there's not enough praise of God, of the sons of men. And there's that desire for more and more. Bow at the feet of Jesus, confessing he is Lord, not grudgingly, as all will do. Those who hate him will do it. But those who love him and want to offer their thankful praise, to say with David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you, Father and Spirit, are worthy of all our praise, worthy of all our blessing, worthy of all our thanksgiving. You are worthy of our very lives, for you and such glorious grace have given your life for us, your death that we may live. Lord Jesus, we ask now that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us hearts of worship. We pray in your name and for your fame. Amen.